More Idaho Matters right now. Idaho is home to the first international dark sky reserve in the United States, known as the Central Idaho Dark Sky Reserve. Now, the gleaming jewels of the night sky over the Sawtooth National Recreation Area attract people from all over the world who escape the electric lights of their cities in favor of a clear view of the Milky Way. Now, the enemy of the reserve? Well, that's light pollution. The glow of lights from street lamps, house lamps, office building, fluorescents, and other artificial sources. But our guest today thinks one of the best things that humans can do for our health, our spiritual lives, and for our environment is to switch off the lights. We are joined now by Michael Marlin, an advocate for dark skies in Idaho and for astrotourism around the world. Welcome back to Idaho Matters.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, Gemma.
So can we start with a definition? What exactly is astrotourism and what are astrotourists seeking in their travels?
Well, the definition has actually changed over the years. Back in the 40s, it was called astronomy tourism. And the only folks going out to see it were astronomers, both professional and amateurs. And technology changes tourism. Diving is an example. At one point, it was just a few people who would go underwater. Now it's a huge industry around the world. So these days, astrotourism can include not only going to see a dark sky and checking out the celestial events, be it a meteor shower or a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse, but also space launches, space re-entries. In my book, I've expanded it to include astronomical clocks, sundials, and megaliths. All of these used to measure the movement of the stars.
So you said this has been around for quite some time, but it seems to be this astrotourism, it seems to be a recent hobby in the United States.
Well, that's because in the last few decades, the number of lights have proliferated to such an extent that 80% of North Americans can no longer see the Milky Way galaxy. 60% of Europeans can't see it. And 99% of the world's population is under some form of light pollution. That's what makes the Central Idaho Dark Sky Reserve so precious. It's just like there's so few places left for people to actually go and see a pristine night sky. And now it's actually under threat from the glow of Boise. Since we spoke last in 2019, I just got back in touch with Steve Boddy, who's the mayor of Stanley, which is in the Central Idaho Dark Sky Reserve. And I'm asking him, so what have you noticed? And he goes, on some nights you can see that there is a difference, a subtle difference, but that's the thing about light pollution, it creeps. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, there are no longer stars anymore. Folks in Boise can't see this.
Wow. And that's the whole thing, right? And here we know that the Treasure Valley continues to grow. So I would think then that that will creep even more into the dark sky reserve potentially.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I point out in my book is that when people's economic engines are tied to a resource, they'll do a lot more to protect it. It's not necessarily the higher nature of our angels, but it is our purses. So as more people see that they can actually cater to the astrotourists, people are traveling, and that the skies around them need to be preserved to generate that, then they'll do more to speak out about it. Yeah, on the Colorado Plateau over the next 10 years, the money that's going to be made in astrotourism is in the billions of dollars, because it entails people having to stay over an extra night. And by staying in over an extra night, now their dollars are going into restaurants or gift shops or gas stations or all of the other businesses in town.
So let's talk a little bit about this idea of kind of being afraid to turn the lights off, right? You gave a TED Talk in Sun Valley a couple of years ago, and you said we have a superstitious fear of the dark. So that would then also play into light pollution if, you know, we're turning on every light in our house at night.
Yeah, well, you know, at one time, if we walked, you know, when we were still cave people, if we walked away from the fire and into the dark, we may not come back. because there was nocturnal animals that would prey mm-hmm. on us. That has not been the case for a long time. And there is not a single study, not a single study that has shown that darkness increases crime. However, there have been studies that show that additional light does increase crime. They did this in Chicago. They lit a bunch of alleys and they found that more crime was perpetrated there because now it was easier for the criminal element to look inside somebody's car. You know, you could see what was in it and it made it easier for them to navigate. Whereas if you're in the dark and you're having to use a flashlight, well, A, that draws a lot more attention to you. And it's not so easy to commit a crime when all you have is just this one little spot of light.
Yeah, they're getting. So I'm curious, too, because you talk about, you know, our spirituality as well. And so how do you think the human spirituality comes into play with our connection to the dark, right? To the night sky, to the stars?
Well, now you're going back to, well, long before there was any kind of organized religion.
Right.
And what everybody did was go out and look up at the night sky at night. And the oldest stories we know are the ones that are told of the night sky. And so we had a sense of where we came from and where we would go to, and we didn't fear death. You know, it's because, you know, you're looking up at a big sky like that. It's like, well, that's what I go back to. Then there isn't so much of a fear about that. You know, one of the anecdotes that I mentioned in my book is about when we wish upon a star. We all do that. We see a shooting star and we make a wish.
Where does that come from?
Yeah. Well, back in ancient Greece, the myth would go that when the gods of Olympus wanted to see what the mortals were doing, they would pry back the sky to take a look. And when they did, the stars would fall out. And humans looking up at this had the idea that, well, if they can see us, then surely they can hear us. So then you would make the wish to the gods. Yeah.
So before I let you go, when the title of your book and when will it be available?
Okay. You can order it now. It's called Astrotourism, Stargazers, Eclipse Chasers, and the Dark Sky Movement. And if you order between now and May 31st, you get a 20% discount. The phone number is 800-632-0880. And again, that's 800-632-0880 and mention Astro 2021.
And, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great book for anybody who's enjoys the night sky, but especially for those people who want to host and cater to the astro tourist. And more of those are going to be coming to Idaho. And this is a way for people to set up their own destination at their place, how to set up star walks, how to have a nightscape sound for it, how to light your place for it. And basically, it's the first book ever written that is for the supply side, for the vendor of the dark sky. And it's like I tell people, it's like if you don't take advantage of this, then the fault lies not in the stars, but in ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, it is always a pleasure having you on. We've been talking with Michael Marlin, astrotourism consultant and dark sky advocate. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Gemma.
Absolutely. More Idaho Matters next.